Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Skid Row Studios. This is the weekly wrap-up. You can subscribe for free. Catch the show always on Sundays live at skidrowstudios.com. You can get the show free at iTunes. Rate the show. Get it free. Call in anytime today for the next hour, 800-893-9562. Tell us what's on your mind. I am your host, Ken August. I am joined by comedian Drew Marks. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great.
Thanks for coming back.
Always a pleasure.
You get a strange feeling of deja vu going on right now, by the way?
I do feel like we've done this before.
Nice. There's nothing like personal jokes between the two people in the studio. Okay, we're going to talk, obviously, a little election politics. We're going to make fun of the Secret Service a little bit.
Not really good with the whole secret part.
And apparently the service isn't
doing all that well. No, they're fine with service. They're all about service.
We will talk about the hall monitors that were sent over to try to keep the peace in Syria. Mel Gibson will bring in some comedy. we go to Mel for the comedy. And then I will I'll talk a little sports and make you pretend you care about the New York Knicks for a little while.
And I'm willing to care for 2 days.
Look to your right and say hello to Jeremy.
This is fantastic.
Holy crap. Producer Jeremy is in the studio. How are you, buddy?
Good. How's it going?
It's going well, man. Thanks for joining us. We're going to start off the show, by the way, with George Zimmerman talking in court.
George Michael Zimmerman.
And you had advised me that you wanted to make a short statement. Then, Brad, correct.
I wanted to say I am sorry for the loss of your son. I did not know how old he was. I thought he was a little bit younger than I am. And I did not know if he was armed or not.
Nothing further, gentlemen.
Okay, so good? Everybody good? He apologized. We're good?
I am. I think it's time to move on.
There you go. I mean, that's it. Wake up, Trayvon. Everybody's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That should work out well. He apologized. They set bail at $150,000. Some people complain that's too low.
Him as a flight risk.
That's the thing. I don't see him as a flight risk. He's, if anything, he may stay behind bars. I would consider staying behind bars because there's a lot of crazy people out there.
As far as his own choice?
As far as for his own safety. I would consider at least, I mean, you know, I'm not saying, hey, I'm moving into federal prison for a little while, but I'm saying I would rather be safe.
I think if he wants to be safe, he can just go hang out at Fox News Studios.
He's pretty safe there. Just safe from facts, but he's safe. So, you know, what's going to happen is there's a... this whole thing is going to turn the spotlight on the Stand Your Ground law. Florida Governor Rick Scott put together a task force, which I like when they basically just get smaller groups of people that have already made these decisions to remake the decisions. But they're going to look at the Stand Your Ground law and see whether or not it needs to be changed or taken down. Or obviously, the NRA is all over it. The NRA is immediately...
The NRA is against anything that in any way, shape, or form infringes on people's rights to do whatever the hell they want with a gun.
That is very true.
It's like, if this impedes my ability to shoot someone in the face, I'm against it.
And here's the thing is... There's been, even after Giffords got shot, that was as much of a time to push for gun restrictions as ever before.
Yeah, but Arizona is one of the strongest gun law states as far as like the ability to have and use them in public and all that. So if it had happened somewhere else, I hate to say it, you know, like you might have seen more of a push if it happened in California. Or something like that. But the fact that it happened there,
Well, the NRA may...
they like their guns.
That is true. Newt Gingrich was pushing for the NRA vote. Listen to this.
I say that I believe the NRA has been too timid. A Gingrich presidency will submit to the United Nations a treaty that extends the right to bear arms as a human right for every person on the planet, because every person on the planet deserves the right to defend themselves from those who would oppress them, exploit them, rape them, or kill them.
Yay.
Look, where do you even start with that? The part of me that loves chaos goes, yeah, let's do it. Let's just give everybody a gun and go party. Let's do it.
Yeah, that part doesn't like that happening in your neighborhood.
I live in L.A. There's traffic. I'm all about population control. Fuck it. Just start shooting people.
That can't be good for traffic.
That could be great for traffic. If we eliminate that many people?
Yes, except for they're all dead in the middle of the road. How's that going to help traffic?
Shoot them on the shoulder. Just
Yes. Controlled anger. That works out well. That seems to work out well. NRA has over 4 million members. Arguably, the biggest or among the biggest lobby people. There's never really, it's not politically smart to take them on. So no. Obama hasn't gone after their guns in the first place.
Unless you listen to them.
Well, to them.
They scream that Obama is taking their guns.
Well, they scream he's been waiting for the reelection that he may not win. And then he's going to go after the guns.
But they also screamed he was going to do that when he first got elected. He got elected. And then when he did absolutely nothing, it wasn't that, okay, we were wrong. He didn't go after it. It's like, okay, now we really mean it. He's just been, it's all part of the master plan.
Yeah. Well, master plan's an interesting phrasing. Now, here's the thing is England, which, I don't really normally, I'm not a big, we're going to compare a whole bunch of countries because there's a bunch of different factors. But England has way, way stronger gun laws, including no handguns at all.
Mm-hmm. Even the police don't carry guns.
2009, the U.S. had over 9,000 homicides, gun-related homicides. In 2009, England had 41. You see that? Somebody called in. Someone just texted Jeremy to say, holy shit, 41? That's insane.
Yeah. But don't try and put that fact out to the NRA where it's like less guns equate to less gun deaths.
Yeah. Yes.
That's ridiculous.
Guns don't kill people. People kill people, which in theory is true, except for it's a lot harder to do it by hand.
Oh, yeah. It takes a little more effort on your part.
It does. And there's a lot of people just too lazy to kill me for that reason alone. I rely on that. Ted Nugent
probably would kill me. Except there was a waiting period.
you try to get an abortion? Huge waiting period. Ted Nugent, he would probably kill me in a heartbeat. He just was interviewed by the Secret Service for
making threatening comments.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He would claim he was going to be either dead or in jail this time next year if Obama wins. I don't know how real of a threat that is. I mean, I guess you have to.
It's not enough of a direct threat that anyone's getting arrested.
No, but if I have my choice between him being dead or in jail, can I choose? Is it my choice? Or is it his choice?
Well, which one would you pick?
I think you know which one.
I know which one you'd pick.
Yeah. Weren't you just talking about a population problem?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they just canceled. He had a concert scheduled for the armed services.
Really?
Yeah, they just canceled him.
Nice. Well,
they said it would be like a conflict of interest. It's like, why? Because the commander-in-chief doesn't like him.
Yeah, no, and
the most important part, his concert sucks.
Yeah, well, I can't.
There's that.
Well, yeah, I can't. I mean, how long can you play? Can you play an hour and a half version of Cat Scratch Fever? You're going to have to.
Are you really going to discount Wango Zetango?
Is that a song? Jeremy, can you name a song other than those two? Can you name any song from Ted Nugent?
Wasn't he in Whitesnake?
No. Not Whitesnake. He was in Damn. I can't believe I'm going to have to school you guys in some music trivia.
Damn Yankees.
He was in Damn Yankees with the guy from Styx and the guy from Night Ranger.
Nugent was in Damn Yankees?
Oh, yeah.
Was he the damn part?
Would be the Yankee. Well, no, I guess he wouldn't be the Yankee, would he?
No. No, he's not. He's not, what's the word? Good. He's not good. But he did endorse Mitt Romney, who's been trying to win back the woman vote now that it's between he and Obama. But that whole thing may have gone out the window when they uncovered this clip about him talking about women working.
I also like the idea that people who are receiving assistance, welfare assistance, have a responsibility of working. And I wanted to increase the work requirement. I said, for instance, that even if you have a child 2 years of age, you need to go to work. And people said, well, that's heartless. And I said, no, I'm willing to spend more giving daycare to allow those parents to go back to work. It'll cost the state more providing that daycare. But I want the individuals to have the dignity of work.
The dignity of work.
Yeah, but it doesn't apply if, you're his wife.
I put a little too much on that, didn't I, Jeremy?
Yeah, a little too much.
There's some shit being thrown
just
around.
Throwing stuff around in the studio.
Yeah, my arm is not impressive. Yeah, that's. I mean, does that not pretty much shoot the whole? I mean, the whole thing was semantics anyway. I don't think anybody, including Hillary Rosen, at any point in time was going to claim that motherhood is not hard work. But the semantics of work as opposed to a job for a paycheck was what she was talking about. And does motherhood make you really an economic specialist? And obviously, the semantics...
It makes you good at playing like the prices, right?
It does. It does. I bid $1. I bid $1 at that person.
That's how much the car is, right? I don't know. My husband buys them for me.
But you know, they should always allow, you know, when that person has the lowest bid and then the last person comes in and underbids them, they should always allow that one curse to be on TV. Motherfucker just bid a buck. Because now you got like range of $2.
I bid $5.25. I bid $5.26. You bastard.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I want to hear. That would be, now you're talking. That they should add that in there. That's fantastic. But I mean, that was a big argument. The whole, you know, one of the two big wedge issues are basically the Buffett plan, the Buffett rule versus the Ryan plan, and then the women's deal. And they were trying to act outraged by the Hillary Rosen comment and associating her very closely with Obama. But once you hear basically Romney saying the same thing, do you not lose that fake outrage?
Yeah, except that he does that with pretty much every issue. It's this, you know, whether it's Obamacare or the health plan that Romney started, he's always like, it's not me, it's them. They're the ones doing it. The whole Republican theme of the war on women, we've talked about it. It's just, oh no, they have a war on women because they're affecting their jobs.
I know you are, but what am I, defense?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. No, that is true. But politically it works. If you just say it enough, people buy it.
It works with the people that are following your side, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's why I think the whole thing's absurd, because it doesn't matter what Obama... I mean, I guess you're looking for those middle, undecided people. But everybody else, it's like the people that like Obama are going to stay with him. The ones that hate Obama, it doesn't matter who they put on. It could be a stick, you know, a block of wood.
Yes.
On the Republican ticket, it goes, is it a white block of wood? Yeah, I'm going to vote for that.
Yeah, that is true. But I mean, the thing is now, do you have, the fake outrage was only going to work for a while with that one, you know, we're outraged by that topic. But other than that, the Democrats can keep pointing to things the Republicans have been doing. Scott Walker, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, just signed a bill to repeal the 2009 Equal Pay Enforcement Act. Quietly did it, not one of those big, hey, I'm going to sign it in public with everybody. I like his explanation, though. His explanation was, it's been nothing but a boon for trial lawyers. I assume that's because there's a lot of discrimination cases that are happening.
Yeah, who are they representing?
Exactly. It says women on average earn 77 cents for every dollar a man makes. In Wisconsin, where he signed the law, it is, or repealed the law, it is 75 cents on the dollar. And the state senator, the Republican Glenn Grothman, who sponsored the act to repeal the Equal Pay Act, his explanation, or part of his explanation, was to explain the wage gap between men and women is, quote, money is more important for men. Women are more focused on child rearing. Wow. Nice.
It's nice to know it's, you know, 1950.
That's what I was going to say. This guy walked out of a Dick Van Dyke episode.
That's amazing.
Minus the funny.
I mean, look, if people are doing equal jobs, common sense would dictate that, yes, you should have equal pay. Now, I could play devil's advocate a little bit and say, sometimes I don't know if women in the workplace are necessarily on even footing, as far as, like, if you're a woman and you're taking care of kids at the same time, are you spending the same amount of time in the office? If you're not, then maybe I can justify not paying the same. But if you're there the same amount of hours doing the same job, then the pay should be the same.
Yeah, if somebody has a job and specifically says, I can't spend X amount of time in the office, that may affect their salary. Outside of specifics like that, yeah, I don't know how you really justify, other than a 1950s statement like that of it's more important to men,
So you're saying it would be politically incorrect if I were to say something like, well, yeah, I mean, if you're going to say women are actually equal to men, I mean, if you want to go down that road.
I wouldn't run for office if I was you. I wouldn't run if I was you.
Oh, no, I think I would have to run, depending on where I was.
The other wedge issue is the Buffett rule, and that's basically the rule that Obama is proposing, which says basically millionaires, anybody making over $1 million would have to pay at least 30% in taxes.
Yeah, based on he pays less than his secretary.
Yes, Warren Buffett, yes.
And yet I am fairly sure his secretary is making so much more than I am.
Minimum wage. Did you not read that? Minimum wage.
His secretary?
I'm completely full of shit. No, that's not true. No, she has to be making a good... But that got blocked, actually. It's not even going to come up for a vote. The U.S. Senate just blocked the Buffett rule.
That's because there's a Republican majority.
Yes. It needed 60 votes for some reason out of the 96. It needed 60 votes in the Senate to proceed. Out of the 96 votes that I'm looking at, 51 voted in favor of it. But apparently a majority is no longer enough.
I love how it used to just be a majority.
Yeah, no,
and
this
it's only been
black president
lately.
Math.
Yeah, exactly. Now it's like a two-thirds.
Yes, if you
majority.
Have a, yes, if you have a black president, you need 60 votes to get anything done
now. Right.
Yeah. So 51 votes in favor, lost to the 45 votes.
So do you think if Romney wins, does it go back to just a simple majority?
It depends who's paying Romney more money, I think, at that point in time.
That's fascinating.
Obama's statement, the Buffett rule is common sense at a time when we have significant deficits to close and serious investments to make to strengthen our economy. We simply can't afford to keep spending money on tax cuts that the wealthiest Americans don't need and didn't ask for. He continued on, but it's basically, it may be better for his election campaign that did get blocked.
Yeah.
I mean, now it's more of a rallying point than, hey, we just pass this. Because fact is if you pass it right away, nothing's going to happen anyway. It's not going to solve the whole problem even over time, but it'll solve a chunk of the problem. But
you mean as far as the deficit?
Yes, but not a big part of it.
I think it makes almost no difference to the deficit. I mean, they've said it. It's, even though it sounds like a lot of money, relative to the deficit, it does almost nothing.
No, it takes
more
a slice
of a
out.
Fairness issue.
Yes, it takes a slice out, and it continues to at least maybe cover up the let's continue to give the wealthiest people these huge tax breaks. But that being said, it's probably better for them as an argument issue than, hey, it got done, and look, now they can point to the fact that nothing has changed.
Right.
I mean, even if it would have made a difference, it wouldn't have made a difference fast enough, and they would immediately point to you. I mean, they blame Obamacare for shit when most of Obamacare hasn't even started yet.
Right. I think it's sort of the same kind of argument like with the death penalty. Is it a deterrent? It's a horrible argument. No, the death penalty is never a deterrent. No one ever goes, I'm not going to kill this person because I could get the death penalty. If you're going to kill somebody, you're going to kill them.
Yeah.
The death penalty is not a deterrent. But whether you're for it or against it is a punishment of like, okay, we're not going to have to pay for a person life in prison. I'm saying there's different arguments you can make. And I just think that it should have been concentrated on the fairness issue as opposed to this could help the deficit, because that's too easy to fight.
Yeah, yeah. I got a little wrapped up in the whether or not a strong penalty would be whether death as a penalty could be a deterrent. But yes. You should never use the death penalty as just like a throwaway analogy in a story, by the way. You might lose.
Life is not precious to me.
No. Well, for your life, some people may understand that.
Have you seen my life?
I try to not look directly at it. The Secret Service. Hard to not to make fun of the Secret Service at this point in time. Listen to this.
The Secret Service controversy continues. The members accused of hiring prostitutes are still in the headlines, but one particular agent is stealing some of the limelight, and this time, Sarah Palin's right in the middle of it. CNN explains why.
This is a photo from the Facebook page of 48-year-old former supervisor David Randall Cheney. In the comments section right beneath this picture, Cheney writes, quote, I was really checking her out. if you know what I mean.
Sarah Palin was quick to shoot back a response.
Well, check this out, bodyguard, you're fired.
Palin went on to say the president's got to crack down on the agency.
Republicans keep pointing out several recent distractions. This incident, the troops posing with body parts in Afghanistan, and they're suggesting that somehow all this adds up to a lack of presidential leadership.
A total of 21 Secret Service members have now been suspended from last week's scandal.
Oops.
Well, I'll start with this. Sarah Palin loves the fact that she was mentioned. Couldn't be happier. Anything that brings her back into the spotlight is a total win for her.
Yeah, I would be nice if we found out that she paid this guy to do that. But yes, I don't
she
actually think
probably, you know, well, okay.
She's going to get a bus and follow this guy around.
No, I was going to say she probably did him just to make it happen, but I'll go with allegedly because that's obviously just a rumor.
You go with the
one start.
Exactly. Allegedly because you just thought of it a couple of seconds ago.
Doesn't make it not a fact.
It is. It's amazing. It now includes a scandal. It now includes 12 Secret Service employees, 11 military members. For anyone who somehow has not been paying attention or hasn't heard, the Secret Service who arrives and takes care of the situation before Obama arrives in Colombia, in this case, where there was a dispute over payment of a prostitute, and then the scandal, as it got investigated, became wider and wider, and military people and more service agents. Now, the 24-year-old Colombian prostitute told the New York Times that she was told she'd be paid $800 for the night, and the next morning he offered her $30. Now, I don't know how bad his Spanish is, but holy shit, $30. First of all, who do you think you're getting for $30?
Are you asking me like for personal experience?
I'm asking you, first of all, maybe for a phone number would be nice. But $30, if you're a Secret Service agent, and I know we touched on this last week, but even if you had to pay the $800, which means, first of all, you're a horrible negotiator for a prostitute in Colombia to offer $800, but if you had to pay her $800 and give her a $200 tip to not have everybody look ridiculous and lose your job, isn't that not worth it?
We paid. Do you remember when, like, in Iraq, what was it, like $3 billion or $300 million? Some ridiculous amount of cash just went missing?
Yeah.
Seriously? $800? You could have just done easily. Either that, or I hate to say it, you could make the prostitute go away.
You don't hate to say that. You wish you can do that most of the time with most of your
dates. I'm from New Jersey. Seriously, you just need like 2 hours in a rolled up carpet.
Carpet's not cheap. But yes, you can get it for less than $800.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you would think, first of all, she was arguing with him in the hallway of the hotel.
Yeah, not bright.
No, I mean, but eventually he paid her $225, according to her.
Look, I have always found Colombian prostitutes to be quite reasonable. You can work it out.
Yeah, you can work it out is right. So huge embarrassment, but now one of the agents, Agent Cheney, then adds.
Are you serious? Cheney, really?
Yeah, not that one.
Newhart, and he's just that ready to go.
He was an actual supervisor, David Cheney, Secret Service supervisor. On his Facebook page, he was assigned to Palin's detail, and on his Facebook page had, "I'm really checking her out." First of all, like, if you're going to do something stupid and it's supposed to be funny, make it funny. What the hell is that? You're going to lose your job over that joke? It's a horrible joke.
It's not a good joke. And who in this day and age doesn't know that if you put something on Facebook, I don't know, maybe someone will notice?
Well, that's my question. Have they always been this stupid? Have we just had I don't mean everybody. I'm not implying that they all do shit like this. But I'm saying, I assume there's been Secret Service people who have had hookers before, and I don't care if nobody knows about it, it's taken care of. Pay your whatever poorly negotiated $800 was and move on.
Right. But the world is a different place now. Now, I can't imagine that these people don't know that.
But doing that
If you have a TV, you know this.
But still, doing that doesn't bother me. Like, I mean, I still think happens. But when you're doing that, and that to me is different than, hey, I'm just going to make this stupid comment on Facebook. There's one thing of getting caught of doing something that you don't expect to get caught. There's another thing when you're not getting caught. You're just saying something dumb and sending it out there for...
asking to get caught.
You're making up something to get caught. I mean, you didn't sexually harass Palin. Yeah,
you did nothing wrong then. Until you decided to throw something out there.
That's what I'm saying. You didn't sexually harass Palin as far as we know, but now you decided to throw out a stupid sexual harassment type comment.
Yeah, after she's already gone.
Oh my God. And we, you know, and the more you don't talk about her, the more gone she goes. And boom, you brought her right back.
Yeah.
That's horrible. But embarrassing. And you just wonder.
Well, it's like I said before, the word secret, apparently, just look at your business card. Secret. Keep low profile.
Shocking. Shocking. Also embarrassing to the country, we had the soldiers, was it the Wednesday, the Los Angeles Times showed 2-year-old photos of 82nd Airborne Division members posing with severed legs of a suicide bomber in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. So the actual Defense Secretary, Leon Panetta, asked them to not publish the photos for obvious reasons, but he's, you know, quote, the reason for that is those kinds of photos are used by the enemy to incite violence and lives have been lost by the publication of similar photos in the past, end quote. And I understand that. And I don't know what good those photos show. Like, here's the thing is, if we killed, and for anyone who doesn't know the story, they were suicide bombers that were dead and blown up.
Did their job poorly.
Yes, because they were actually, this same division was in, there was two different sets. The same division was called back in months later for two suicide bombers who accidentally set themselves off. And so there's body parts and there's photos of these people posing. So
yeah, they had the hand on the shoulder and they were holding up the legs.
Right, yeah. And they're holding, here's me with the legs at Disneyland. Here's me with the legs at the Eiffel Tower.
No, it wasn't the traveling gnome. But
I mean, here's the thing, and I understand Leon Panetta's perspective. Like, it doesn't do you any good. You're not releasing. These soldiers didn't kill these people and then start doing things to their body. These people went in, blew themselves up, and now they were called in to check out the body parts. I, for some reason, have less of a problem morally with not feeling obligated to tell people, hey, if you suicide bomb people, don't worry, we'll at least respect your dead body. That being said,
yes,
it could incite violence.
It's going to incite violence. It doesn't, in other words, you're really dealing with the repercussions. So it doesn't matter whether we shot the insurgents or they shot themselves up.
So it's similar to not showing Muhammad, just because, as silly as you may find, not being allowed to show a picture of a cartoon
your
of
argument.
Muhammad.
Now, me, I don't, I guess I don't.
Would you draw a picture of Muhammad? If you had access to a newspaper, if you were a newspaper
editor.
If I
could draw, no, I would do it right now.
No, yeah, but I'm not saying assigned to you. If you were the editor of a newspaper that employed thousands of people, and which I already highly doubt any of this premise, but if you were and somebody wanted to put in a Muhammad cartoon that you immediately got death threats for, your whole company got death threats.
I'm a comic. You know I would print it.
In this scenario, you're a newspaper editor. That's why I'm assigning other lives to this scenario, not just you telling the joke. Would you do it, or do you say, you know what, this would incite violence, even though I feel that they shouldn't be safe?
Well, I think
from
it
this.
Depends where. Okay, where is the paper? If it was here, I'd say no. We go ahead and run it.
Where would you not run it?
In Afghanistan.
Okay, so in this ridiculous premise, you just made yourself an editor in Yemen. Yeah, okay.
I would be the best editor Yemen ever saw.
Yes, you would. The GSA, also a little more embarrassment. This one...
A little?
Yeah.
Really? About 877,000 worth of...
And that's just for that one trip.
That's the one party.
For anyone who doesn't know, and it's being investigated more now, the GSA, which is the department that's in charge of basically streamlining government.
Making sure they're not wasting money.
Yes, government efficiency, the General Services Administration... and it's been found out that they have been wasting money like a sitcom department. It is ridiculous. These people are spending money, $823,000 on just a junket that they went to, one junket to Vegas.
Yeah.
A mind reader, a clown.
How many people? How many people were there?
It was like 25
or something.
I was gonna say, if it's anything less than 800,000 people, then it was not good use of
it. It was insane. And then their director. I love this. Did you see the picture of him
in the hot tub
with two glasses of wine?
Yeah.
No shirt in a hot tub. Like, seriously? But this comes back to, like, do you really not think this stuff is ever coming out?
No, well, it's once again, the crime is bad. The stupidity of the crime of your reaction after the crime. It's not gone. I'm not going to get caught. This is fine. Let me videotape me doing this.
Yeah. Like you said, I didn't mean to interrupt, but yes, they hired a psychic.
Yeah.
Who psychic. Apparently wasn't very good, or the psychic might have gone, you're not going to like the way this works out.
Yeah. I would cover your books now. A psychic, a clown, sushi, hot tubs. A clown at... How many kids were at this?
I mean, the hookers, I understand, but a clown?
Maybe there were clown hookers.
Oh.
That would be nice. That's entertaining. Four congressional committees and the Justice Department are now investigating. Jeffrey Neely was in charge of it. And did you see the clips of him, no matter what they asked him, he invoked his Fifth Amendment rights?
Fifth Amendment?
Yeah. Now, I understand that right, but... When they're asking you, what's your name, what's your job, and everybody knows that. We have photos of you at the junket, and you're like, are you at the junket? And everything is, on advice of my attorney, I plead the Fifth.
You might as well just go, look, I'm guilty. Can we just move this along?
I'm guilty. Can you prove it without me helping you? Because I will not help you.
Yeah.
Yes.
You have the evidence. Why am I here?
Now, this is going to be a tough law to pass, but when somebody pleads the Fifth on something that everybody already knows, like your name or your job, or were you at this place, or we have photos of you at this place. When he says, I plead the Fifth, there should be some kind of jester that runs out and punches him in the face and then runs back off screen.
The last guy, I'm trying to think, was it Tom DeLay? Was he the one that did that? Remember when he was up on ethics violations?
Yes,
Didn't he say it was the same thing? But it's just this guy under the Obama administration. The other one was a Republican, but it's the same thing. It's like, oh my God, you're guilty. This is just so aggravating.
Yes, the guy in charge of the GSA, in charge of government efficiency, had a 17-day trip for he and his wife to Hawaii, Guam, and Northern Mariana Islands. I don't even know where Northern Mariana Islands are. It can't be cheap.
I don't know.
When you're finding islands in spots of the world, I'm like, I don't know where that is. Four-day trip to Napa, that was over 40 grand. That's good efficiency. Good efficiency.
It's a lot of wine.
Yeah. Have you gone to those things? That's fantastic. Wine tasting?
I have.
Yeah, you need to go.
If you ever do that, do not do the train. Have you done that?
No.
They have a train that takes you. I'll just take a second with this, but the worst part is when you go for wine tasting, they have this train and it seems like, oh, how quaint and beautiful, until you see how many people throw up on that train.
Oh, is that true?
It is absolutely true.
Oh, no. You know, my best wine experience, and I've had a couple where one of them was to a wedding. Before the wedding, a van took everybody in the wedding party out, and we all went to two wine tastings early and then came back and had the wedding on this farm, which was great, except for everybody had to pee during the ceremony. Oh. But it was fantastic. But you need a driver.
When I lived in San Francisco, we hired a limousine.
Yeah, that was the other one.
Six people. It cost us like $50 each.
That's the best way.
It was fantastic. But then the other time we did the train, and that was unpleasant. It's like, oh my God, there's a drunk fat man with his head on my shoulder.
Yeah, I apologize for that, by the way. I keep apologizing for that. Leave me alone. Jesus. All right, there's not a lot going on. Unfortunately, that's good to report, over in the Middle East, and rarely is there. But Syria, where they had a ceasefire that seems to not really be holding up, and the UN decided to send in some high school hall monitors, unarmed people, who didn't even necessarily go out on Friday. No, I did not.
Oh, it was great. It was in the paper. They have like the bulletproof vest and like this giant bulging crotch protector.
Really?
Yeah, like a giant cod piece like over their crotch of bulletproof because you don't want to get shot in the balls.
Are they in a Batman movie?
I'm telling you, that's what it looks like. You see these people, it's like, wow, okay. I guess if they're not going to give you a gun, you get a giant crotch protector.
They're going to need something, because if you can't shoot, I don't think your hall pass is going to help. But let's listen to this.
The situation remains highly precarious. Despite the government's agreement to cease all violence, we still see deeply troubling evidence that it continues. The past few days in particular has brought reports of renewed and escalating violence, including the shelling of civilian areas, grave abuses by government forces, and attacks by armed groups. I have recommended that the Council authorize the establishment of a United Nations supervision mission in Syria, comprising of 300 military observers supported by a civilian component.
Meaning, you guys go get them. Tell them to stop.
Yeah, they don't really seem to have a lot of teeth with their things. Like they're saying, they've said that they don't do what they're supposed to, we are prepared to do absolutely nothing.
We are prepared to talk about doing some stuff, but we promise you whatever we talk about doing will not be military related, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Good luck with that.
So I guess they're just there to go, all right, things are bad.
Now, well, part of the ceasefire agreement was that these people were allowed to protest without being fired on. And so the UN sent in 30 unarmed people to go in there to observe. And then on Friday, when mass protests were called for, these people decided they were going to stay in because they didn't want to be used, quote, as tools, which I thought they were there to observe. So, okay, so they go out, and I understand maybe you don't want to be blown up, but then don't sign up for the job where you're going to observe the ceasefire. But now we're saying those 30 people couldn't, you know, they don't really have a whole lot of effect, so we're going to add 300
of them.
We're going to have 300 people with no arms to ask people to stop. And if they don't, we will consider asking you to stop strongly.
Yeah, that's like the security guard. He goes, if you don't get out of this building, I'm going to consider taking out my flashlight.
Consider, but know in advance.
I'm not going to do it yet.
And know in advance, if I do take it out, I'm not allowed to hit you with it.
Right.
But I might pull it out. By the way, I've gotten in trouble for saying that before, so I shouldn't say that on the air. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's not a whole lot we can do. And basically, what is it, Russia and China, who don't really want, you know, they've been backing Syria, or at least they've been hesitant to do anything too strongly. So they had to merge both the Russian and European dialogue to say that they expressed the council's intention to assess implementation of the new resolution and to consider further steps, which is right to your point of, you know, we will consider doing stuff.
Yeah, what does that mean? Like, what is your incentive to stop if the other side has basically not said they're going to do anything?
Yeah, they have a better chance. And I'm sure, you know, he's thinking, I have a better chance of just killing enough people where they will shut up as opposed to these people who just keep telling me to stop.
Right. Well, what does Bashar have to lose? I mean, the thing is, if he lets the opposition have their way, the only thing they're going to be happy with is him being gone.
Yeah.
So unless he decides, well, yeah, I'm ready to retire, he's got nothing to lose by fighting.
Nope. No. Well, he has hall monitors. Now there's 300 hall monitors telling him to stop. Stop or they'll tell him to stop again.
Yeah, that just means he shouldn't run in the halls.
But they won't go, and they won't go out because they don't want, you know,
to get shot.
Yeah, yeah. So we have hall monitors inside watching Spectrevision in the Holiday Inn, but that's okay. They'll be fine.
I'm sure they'll find some nice Syrian hookers.
So now let's go from Syria and the dictator there to a slightly crazier bastard. Listen to this. And now here's the thing is last week as a joke, I said I had a Mel audio and I played Hitler. Yeah. And yet the Hitler stuff seems slightly more lighthearted than what Mel's got going on right here.
A little bit.
Nut job.
Jeremy, I know you were just sitting down there. Did you hear the invitation to eat at the end?
I love that. At least he's a good host.
Well, this happened at a dinner party, from what I understand.
A meeting. He had his he had Joe Esterhaus there for the Maccabees. For anyone who's just tuning in, Mel basically had they hired Joe Esterhaus to write a script for the Maccabees. For some reason, Mel Gibson was slated to produce and possibly direct a story about a Jewish hero. And when the script got rejected, Joe Esterhaus released a letter basically saying Mel is what you've heard Mel is. And then when Mel denied it, out come the audio tapes.
Yeah. I mean, I heard that, I guess there's different sides, because it was an open letter from Mel after that, that he never even really did the script. Like, when they looked at it, it was nothing to work with, but which does not justify the
I was gonna say
and hate
script
Jews.
Script or no script.
Why am I out?
But what does that even mean?
That audio,
I mean, that's like a little kid.
That
screaming.
Audio clip comes with a cigarette burn. That's that is not a pleasant man.
That's an unhealthy rage right there. I mean,
that is, and that's cut down a lot, obviously.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
What
you're ignoring
is
the nice part. He was a good host. He made sure nobody was hungry.
How many of these outbursts need to happen before Mel Gibson is just done?
Well, this
we've hit that.
It's done.
That's probably.
I mean, he's done, right? Like, I mean, somebody was obviously interested in him to be at his house having a meeting about a script from the previous outbursts.
Warner Brothers had him hired to produce a story about a Jewish hero, which is amazing.
Is that a joke?
No.
It sounds like a joke.
It should be a joke. It's a joke now that this comes out again, but I know why Mel would want to do it. You want to try to recover, but this all also came out in time to promote his new book, Mel Kampf,
that's funny, but you know, he does have, I'm not making this part up. He has a movie out right now, something like The Mexican Mafia or Missing in Mexico,
Movie. Is it called I Hate Jews?
No, this is a legitimate thing. It was just in the paper 2 days ago. He has a movie that was supposed to be released in theaters. They have, since this has all happened, it got released in certain theaters just for a day, and now it's being taken out and right to video. And he's claiming it's like, in the new way of doing things, this is the new way of, you know, this is has nothing to do with any of this scandal.
Right.
It's just, you know, this is the new way. I think it's a fine thing that we're just going to take it right to the people. But yeah, he has like a full movie out right now.
That is true. But I mean, he's, for a guy, I would look for new ways too, but he can never sell anything for the rest of his life and be fine, because he made a movie. He made that Jesus snuff film.
Yeah.
That he is his. So he can never sell anything, but he'll always have a following because of that film alone. He'll always have a following.
I think there's a differentiation between this outburst and the previous one, where it was just with his girlfriend, right? I mean, it was over the phone.
Well, before that, there was the one where he yelled at the cop.
Jews are responsible. Yeah.
Jews are responsible for all wars.
Wow.
Which is,
that was when he got pulled over. Now, I think we're also ignoring one underlying common thing. You do not get that kind of like crazy, angry, yelling thing when you are sober.
But I actually heard that he's very adamant about his sobriety, and that is what makes this rant even more scary, is knowing that he's probably sober.
And whether he's sober,
I'm not buying that.
And whether he's sober or whether he had to have a couple of drinks to let this hate out, what the hell's the difference?
Yeah.
You keep him away from the Manischewitz and you're just waiting for the rage to come out sooner or later?
No, I'm just saying that it's not just one problem.
Probably not. This one has real chunks of Jew, real Jew pulp.
Yeah.
Let's go to, I want to talk sports real quick before we get to headlines. The suspensions for the Saints. Sean Payton got to appeal his suspension to the same guy who actually suspended him in the first place.
Yeah.
Hey, I believe maybe you're wrong. And Goodell said, no, I'm not. And here are the conditions.
What more can you tell us about the restrictions placed on Sean Payton? Hannah, we knew that the suspension was restricted, but when you begin to hear those terms and process what it means, it's difficult to comprehend. Basically, when Sean Payton's suspension began yesterday, that means he's now cut off from everybody until that suspension ends. He cannot talk to his friends on the Saints for basically a full year. He cannot communicate with the coaches there. Anytime he does, he must report it to the NFL executive, Ray Anderson. And the NFL is going to be tracking this, and it's made it very clear that his reinstatement depends upon Sean Payton following these conditions. Think about this. He and Mickey Loomis, the Saints general manager, have beach homes in the Florida area about 1 mile apart. If they see each other this summer, conceivably by the letter of the law, they are not allowed to speak to each other unless Sean Payton calls the NFL and says, I saw Mickey Loomis, we said hello, we greeted each other, but wanted you to know in advance.
Okay, so we're on record for saying, and for anyone who doesn't know, this is under his watch, the defensive coordinator under the watch of head coach Sean Payton. He got caught having a bounty paying people to hurt other players, and he's been suspended, and Sean Payton, therefore, has been suspended for the whole year. He appealed it, and the ruling came back that you're not only suspended for the whole year, but you can't have contact with anybody at all, football or professional football related, or college football. So, which, you know, at face value, you say, okay, I understand that for job, but that's all this guy's lived for his life. Everybody he knows is pretty much, most people he knows are football related. For a year, he can't have his friends.
Well, you can say that. I mean, they're saying if he reports it, then it might be okay.
Right, but I don't think... That example was, hey, if I see him and we talked at the supermarket, but I don't think you call in and report, hey, I'm going to have a party with these guys. I'm hanging out with these guys on Friday.
But I also think that you kind of have to have that sort of restriction. Otherwise, just because he's not coaching, if you say, okay, you can't coach, can't be on the sideline. But if you want to have meetings at home with these guys, you know, before the game and go over game plans and things, obviously that's not acceptable. So I think one of the only ways to try and enforce that is to say you can't have contact with these people. Because look, if you're a professional football coach, it is your life. You're not doing a whole lot else.
No, that's your life.
So
that's your life. That's all your contacts.
Right. So the only way to truly enforce that ban is to remove that. So I don't think that's unreasonable.
So you think it's realistic to say you can't have your friends for a year? I understand the logic of it makes it easier to enforce because you can say, well, now if I prove any contact as opposed to if I prove what you were talking about. But you think if he lives a block away from somebody in the Saints organization and that's his good friend, they can't talk for a year?
No, I'm saying if you do, you can log what the conversation was, you know, not word for word, but what the topics were, and just report it in. It's not going to be a flawless system, but I think it keeps you from, if you don't have that, if there's no restrictions, then I think you are going to get into football conversation.
Here's what I like. Here's the system I like. I like a mixture of some sort of ankle bracelet type slash drunk driving, you know, when you have to take a breathalyzer to start the car, you know, those systems. So I'm saying he has some sort of recording device.
I got no problem with that.
And anytime he's with somebody else, he has to record that conversation and that goes directly into some...
It was like the Nixon tapes in the offices where everything was recorded.
That's what I'm... Well, I don't know if I want to record... He's not Kim Kardashian, but
no,
I mean...
No, I'm saying anytime he's with a person that he is technically not supposed to be with.
Yes, it immediately, yes. He has to record, and I mean, he has to... And now you have to obviously have him take responsibility for pressing record, because otherwise everybody football-related has to be in some sort of automated system, but... Yes, and you have
only
recorded.
They're allowed to meet in certain rooms.
And he can immediately... Yeah, everything, that whole conversation goes to... You know, gets recorded by
NFL. Yeah, I think that's also, it's a wonderful idea. It's not going to happen. It's unrealistic.
What are you talking about? This is great football sci-fi stuff we got going here.
What about just a little implant in his brain that, you know, as he's talking football, it automatically records.
Yes. Basketball playoffs. We're getting ready to go into the second round of the hockey playoffs. Basketball playoffs, we have...
Your team.
We have a couple of games left. The Knicks are either going to be the 7th or 8th seed. I'm going to make you and probably Jeremy pretend to care. about the Knicks for a while because it worked for the Giants. Because
I won't wear a hat. I can't wear hats.
I'd rather you wear a shirt than no shirt and a hat. So, yes, I'm going to give you a shirt.
It wasn't going to be just the hat.
You have my Knicks underwear you're going to have on, just that, and you can wear that as a hat. It's going to be fine. You're going to look good. Knicks haven't won a playoff game in over 10 years.
Oh, so then they're due.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. They made the playoffs last year for the first time in years, and then they got swept. So we're hoping this year.
Is that what happens with your Mets also?
No, the Mets don't make the playoffs.
Okay.
But thank you for bringing that up.
Hey, no problem. I'm here to help.
Holy crap, dude. That was painful. All right, let's get the headlines. We have, now, could there be a bigger sign that things are going wrong for your campaign when Newt Gingrich, shortly after bouncing a check, he visits the St. Louis Zoo. He's in St. Louis for the NRA meeting where we played a clip earlier. And this is
why I love animals.
Oh, this is great. Newt shows up to the St. Louis Zoo. He's a big zoo fan, and a penguin bit him on the thumb. Bit him.
Yeah. Dude, I've always said animals are great judges of people. If my dog doesn't like you, I don't want to know you.
I tell you what. He probably would have gone up, would have had a huge boost in the polls if he would have just taken a couple steps back and shot the penguin. Like self-defense.
Well, it is partly black.
He has to shoot that half. Says, you know what? Self-defense. I thought it was a hoodie. It was just his head was black. Planetary Resources, new private space exploration company, backed by billionaire investor James Cameron, as well as a handful of other people, guys from Google. And they basically are starting a space for a shitload of money, but you can go up there. It's multiple. It sounds like they're going to be mining on asteroids. It's also possible. But one of the guys...
Mining for what?
What minerals? I couldn't tell you. Okay. That I don't know. But that is seriously in the works. And then one of the co-founders of this whole Planetary Resources... is the only guy, one of the only guys who's ever boarded for a private citizen's International Space Station, boarded a private flight, cost around $35 million. He did it twice. These guys ran basically entertainment may not be the right word, but for basically anybody who can afford it up to the space station. Would you do it? Would you do that?
If I had the money?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, okay, let me add this element. Would you go to, say, Mars, if you can be an astronaut and you had that opportunity, but it was going to take 2 years of your life, would you do something that, would you be in that rare, put yourself in that rarefied of a group, but it would take 2 years of your life, and there's always that chance you blow up, you burn coming back in, any of those wonderful endings?
I am not that busy of an individual. Yes, I would go.
Yeah, fair enough.
Would you?
Yes.
Yeah.
It'd be hard not to. That is.
And so what else am I doing?
Yeah.
Can I bring my dog?
No.
Oh, then I'm not going.
No, you can't bring your dog.
Why not?
No. No, you definitely can't bring your dog. There's not a chance. Although it would be cartoony with the dog with the helmet, that little space helmet, but yes.
No, you can't.
No, I'd have to make it a difficult decision. Otherwise, you seem to think you're in some sort of sitcom. No, you're going.
I'm not leaving my dog for 2 years.
Yeah, she's fine. Leave the cabinet open. Kim Kardashian decided she has said on one of her gazillion family shows that she wants to run for mayor of Glendale in 4 or 5 years. She's going to have to set up residency. She feels this little Armenia town, in her words, and she wants to run for Glendale. Now, of course.
Did she originally say mayor or did she say governor?
I'm sorry, I apologize. Yes, she said governor.
She said governor. Yeah, because I thought that was weird because they don't actually have one of those.
Well, they have a governor. They just don't have elections. Yes, they have a city council and then they rotate. Those people, the people on the city council, rotate their turn as governor. So she would have to set up a residency and then a handful of years later become. But now here's what bugs me is that somebody there, I would support her. I think she would make an excellent mayor. City councilman Rafi, I can't pronounce the last name, said, you know what? Based on what? Based on her sex tape, you feel she would make a great mayor? Or are you just telling me that your job is that easy, that Kardashian can do it based on that?
I think he just kind of wants to. You know, maybe get a little Kardashian.
I don't think there's anything little about Kardashian. We've lost a couple of music world has lost a couple of greats. Levon Helm, singer and drummer of the band, mm-hmm. Passed at 71, lost his battle with throat cancer. Dick Clark, who...
has been dead for 4 years.
Ouch, but possibly. Here's the thing is, I've never said he's only 82, but I thought he was 35 for 65 years. So I was actually shocked he was only 82. But for years, he was the example of people who always looked the same age.
Him and what's the...
American Bandstand.
No, I know who he is.
No, I know that.
He's the one that's always tan.
$20,000 pyramid, George Hamilton.
That's the one.
The TV's bloopers and practical jokes. Dick Clark was an icon, but certainly a trailblazer. We got a minute left. Douche of the week. What is wrong with people, Drew?
Oh, I got one here. Rita Crundwell from Dixon, Illinois. Rita was the chief financial officer, had a salary of about between $60,000 and $80,000 a year. Mm-hmm. Over a six-year period, she embezzled $30 million of the city's money. Their entire budget for a year was $10 million, and she stole half for 6 years without getting caught.
The GSA should hire her. She's pretty good.
She's awesome.
That is that is nice. I'm going to go with FBI agent Cheney. You know, it's one thing, the hooker thing, I have less of a problem with that. I mean, I have a problem that it couldn't get taken care of. Like, that's sad that you couldn't take care of that problem. But when you're dumb enough to be like, well, now that you're investigating us, I don't see how putting sexually harassing things online about Palin, I don't see how that can haunt me.
I think the worst thing he did was actually liking Palin.
Well, that's what I said. He's not turned on by intelligence. We know that.
Yeah.
Good night, everyone.